I was at my desk a short while ago when I received a telephone call from James Stapleton, Communications Coordinator at JRS, Jesuit Refugee Service, that has its central offices just across the road from here. He told me that one of their volunteers was passing through Rome after a 2-year stint in West Africa and was wondering whether I would like to speak to her. Of course, I said, West Africa is an area we rarely speak about, so bring her round, I said. I'm very interested to hear about JRS's work in the region and about her experience there. Well, when I went downstairs to meet her, I was almost bowled over. Ashley Gagné is a beautiful and slender young girl who wouldn't look out of place at a beauty contest. Not exactly the kind of person you would imagine operating in a war zone and in setting up refugee camps, but appearances can be deceiving, and I asked her to tell me something about Jesuit Refugee Service and what it does.
JRS is an international Catholic organization, and we have a mandate to serve, accompany, and defend forcibly displaced people. So we work in countries of war, and we have regional offices throughout the world. We work in about 57 different countries, and we provide emergency relief, but with a sort of sustainable approach.
Ashley told me that she had just spent 2 years based in the West African country of Ivory Coast. Initially, she said, she followed 3 projects for refugees that were based in the north, but thankfully, living conditions there are improving, and JRS is refocalizing its work there.
The situation in Cote d'Ivoire has stabilized a little bit, so we're starting one small project there. It's a school reconstruction project, and we offer some teacher training in collaboration with the government in Cote d'Ivoire.
Because education is one of your concerns.
Yes, yes. JRS is definitely strong in education in our refugee services. So, yes, in Cote d'Ivoire, we have our education project in the north, where there are a lot of needy populations that were especially affected by the civil war.
And until 2008, Ashley told me, JRS was also present in Liberia and in Guinea.
We were working in refugee camps for Liberian refugees and Ivoirian refugees in those countries, also sites for internally displaced persons.
Right, so mm-hmm. These mostly refugees who are fleeing conflict?
Yes, yes, okay. Yes, that are fleeing war.
In their own countries, or do they come from neighbouring African countries?
Right, there's a mix of all different. You have Liberian refugees fleeing to Guinea, you have Ivoirian refugees fleeing to Liberia. Our region has seen a transition in the past couple of years where we've phased down our projects in Liberia and Guinea, where we've currently closed all projects, and now we're focusing more on Chad and Central African Republic. So there are a lot of internally displaced Chadians that are fleeing violence, but they're still within the borders of their own country. They're still facing a lot of the hardships that refugees face, but they're internally displaced. And then there are a lot of Sudanese refugees in Chad.
Coming from Darfur region.
Coming from the Darfur region of mm-hmm. Sudan. And yes, the conflict in Chad is very complicated.
The conflict in Chad, it seems to me, is so complicated that no one ever talks about it, me included. And that is just not on.
The conflict in Chad, you have Chadian rebel groups that are fighting government forces. There's a lot of intercommunal, inter-ethnic problems along the border. You have a lot of sedentary communities that are fighting for resources with cattle breeders. So there are a lot of inter-ethnic problems. There's the governmental forces fighting rebel forces, and then you have spillover of the Darfur conflict and Sudan fighting Chad. So it's a very complicated situation.
When you say you've closed your projects in mm-hmm. Cote d'Ivoire, and you mentioned another project you'd closed as well.
We're closed in Guinea and Liberia.
Right, in Guinea,
as well.
Sorry, mm-hmm. and in Liberia. Do you close because there's less need in that area, mm-hmm. and you choose to go to areas where there is more urgent need, or is it for other reasons that you close a project?
It's always a difficult decision and difficult process to decide when to start phasing out and when to start in new places. According to the JRS mandate, we try to respond where the needs are greatest and where people are most forgotten. So even though there may be certain needs that remain, we try to exit in a way that people will be able to take the reins when JRS leaves, and will be able to be stronger after JRS leaves, so we can focus on areas where the crises are more serious.
And one of the reasons JRS employs many of the locals to work within their projects, Ashley explained, is to make it easier to pass on the reins when JRS pulls out.
In refugee camps, we have refugees that are actually implementing the projects, you know, school directors in refugee camps that are themselves refugees, that are providing training to other refugees. So, yes, we try to include and reinforce the capacity of the people that we are actually serving.
Mm. Some people spend years and years of their lives in refugee camps.
Mm-hmm.
How strange a life is it? What is it like to live in a refugee camp?
That's a really good question that I often ask myself, because you can go in and you can be with the people. You always have the option of leaving, and you know that people stay. Yes, refugee camps are, I mean, they're small societies that are basically cut off from the rest of the world, in a sense. People's movement is restricted. They can't really move around freely. They depend on, you know, food donations, things like this. But it's very important to try to create a sense of normalcy in these camps, providing schools, providing cultural centers, so that people feel that, you know, they are part of a community while they're in exile. And yes, there have been children that are, you know, born in refugee camps and they're raised. They spend, you know, years of their lives in these camps. But to try to make it a place of growth, even despite the difficulties.
It must be a really hard reality for a young girl such as yourself to deal with. Mm-hmm. What was the impact like when you first started doing this work, and why do you do it?
Well, for me, I mean, my position was administrative, but I did have many, many opportunities to interact with refugees and be in the camps. And I don't know, I was struck by people's graciousness to have a conversation with somebody from outside. I guess in a sense, I mean, part of the reason why I went was because I didn't want there to be divisions, you know, between, okay, here, this is refugees, these people are from, you know, these countries, and the situation is difficult for them. I wanted to try to break down those divisions and those barriers. And yeah, a challenge for me is to be with other people and to sort of deny these divisions. But I find that you know, our staff that work every day in the camps and with beneficiaries, they really can form some human connections and human relationships with people. And I think that's the source of any success in the program, is based on these kinds of good relationships between people.
What are your strongest memories? What would you bring back with you from these situations?
When I sit down with some people that have been involved in JRS projects from the very beginning, and they see sort of the effect of the project, for example, establishing schools in a site for internally displaced people, and you speak with people that have lived great horrors, but they can still say that they have hope and that they feel like they have an identity in their work, let's say teaching children or directing a school. And of course, there's a sense of openness in West Africa, where I lived. People are always available for you. I don't know, personally, I feel alive. I don't know how to explain it. I always feel like I'm completely alive when I'm spending time in these countries, and I have a sense of purpose that I don't always feel when I'm, you know, sitting in my office and at home.
Does faith play a role in participating in a project such as this one?
For me personally, yes, faith does play a role. We can talk about social justice, and we can talk about sustainable development and emergency relief. But underneath all of this, yes, you know, you have faith that, you know, together you can change situations with people, and that if you continue working to improve lives in a human way based on love and faith, then you can succeed in this way. So yeah, for me, the spiritual aspect is really, really important. It's what gives you strength, what keeps you going.
Time was drawing to a close, and Ashley had to get going back to JRS headquarters first, and then, of course, to her life in the United States. But before saying goodbye, is there anything, I asked, you would like to add before leaving?
I just hope that as the world is getting smaller and, you know, globalization plays a more important role, I hope that we can stay informed, we can stay aware of these populations, these people that are so forgotten, that are in these situations that are so much larger than themselves, and speaking of governments and all. And I think we can all play a role in staying informed and in some small way, whether we are living in Italy or the United States or, you know, Côte d'Ivoire, there are ways that we can try to make changes in our daily lives that will help these people.
Yes, staying aware is just a small change that we can make in our daily lives to help these people. Help them not to be the forgotten people of yet another forgotten war. Help them not to be the forgotten men giving their lives for the greed of others. Help them not to be the forgotten women with no food for their children. Help them not to be the forgotten children with no education with which to build a future.